It powers your lifestyles. It lights your cities and your homes. It allows you to communicate. The ether, the source, the life force of the Rephaim, is rather like electricity. It can bring light to the darkness, knowledge to ignorance. The lantern glowed with a sudden light. But when used incorrectly, it can destroy. It can kill. The light went out. I have a gift that has proved very useful over the past 2 centuries. Some clairvoyant humans display particularly erratic abilities. They channel the ether, the realm of the dead, in ways that can result in madness and violence. The Bloody King had such an ability, resulting in a tragic killing spree. I am able to take those dangerous mutations of the gift away. She motioned towards me. Clairvoyance, like energy, cannot be destroyed, only transferred. When 40 dies, another clairvoyant will eventually develop her gift. But by holding it inside me, I will ensure it is never used again. You like making things up, don't you, Nashira? I said it before I'd registered the thought. She turned to look at me. Her eyes flared. You will not speak again. Her voice was soft. I risked a glance at the gallery. Empty. Below me, Michael slipped a hand into his jacket. He had one of the guns. At the back of the guild hall, a door opened. Terabel Alsafian Warden. I met his eyes over the heads of the emissaries. The golden cord trembled. I saw a picture of the knife, the one on the floor, the one the overseer had left behind. It lay a few feet away from Nashira. As she turned back towards the audience, my spirit shot across the space between us. With every ounce of strength I could muster, I broke into her hadal zone. She hadn't been expecting the attack. I pictured myself with a massive dream form, a behemoth, big enough to break down every barrier. The ether reverberated. Spirits flew across the guild hall, coming at Nashira from all angles. They joined me at the edges of her dreamscape, breaking down her ancient armor. The 5 angels were trying to defend her, but now 20, now 50, now 200 spirits had descended on her, and the walls were starting to give. I wasted no time. I hauled my way through the shadows and threw myself into the very heart of her dreamscape. I could see through her eyes. The room was a whirling blur of color and darkness, light and fire, a spectrum of things I'd never seen. Was this how Ref saw? There were auras everywhere. I was sighted, but now I was blind, and her eyes were refusing to see. They didn't want me to see. These weren't my eyes. I forced them open, looked down at my hand. Too large, gloved. My vision clenched. She was fighting me. Hurry, Paige. The knife. The knife was there. Hurry. I reached for it. Just moving my hand was like trying to lift a barbell. Kill her. My ears rang with screams and strange new sounds. Voices. Thousands of voices. Kill her. My new fingers curled around the handle. The knife. It was there. I drew back my arm, and with a single stab drove the blade into my chest. The emissary shouted. My vision tunneled again. Everything flickered. I twisted the knife with my new hand, grinding it into whatever the hell it was that made up Nashira's body. No pain. She was numb to the bites of an amorotic blade. I stabbed again, this time on the left, aiming for where the heart would be on a human. Still no pain. But when I raised my arm a third time, I was thrown out of her body. Spirits scattered across the room, extinguishing every candle. The guild hall descended into chaos. When my vision returned, I couldn't see a thing. My ears were full of screaming. The candles came back to life. Nashira lay across the boards. She didn't move. The knife was embedded in her chest, right up to the handle. Blood Sovereign, a ref shouted. The emissaries had fallen silent. My hands shook as I dragged myself across the boards to Nashira. I looked at her face. The eyes devoid of light. The spirits of Bone Season 18 still hovered around her, as if waiting for her to join them in the ether. Then a dim glow filled into her eyes. Slowly, her head turned. I felt myself shivering uncontrollably as she rose to her full height. "Very clever," she said. "Very, very clever." I kept moving, my fingers scraping on the boards. As I watched, she pulled the knife from her chest. There were gasps from the audience. "Show us more." Drops of light fell like tears. "I have no objections." With a flick of her hand, the knife was in the air. It hung there for a moment, as if on an invisible thread. Then it came flying towards me. It caught my cheek, leaving a glancing wound. The candles guttered. One of her angels was a poltergeist. It was rare that they could actually lift physical matter, but I'd seen it happen before. A port, Jackson called it. Spirits moving objects. A film of cold sweat coated my skin. I shouldn't be afraid. I'd faced a poltergeist once. Now my spirit was mature. I could defend myself. "If you insist," I said. This time I couldn't catch her unawares. She threw up every layer of armor she had on her dreamscape, as if two giant doors had slammed in front of me. I was launched straight back into my own body. My heart stirred. The helmet-like pressure on my head intensified. I heard a familiar voice, but it was lost to a long, high-pitched sound in my ears. "Move." I had to move. She wouldn't stop. She would never stop hunting my spirit. I pushed myself back on my elbows, trying to find the knife. Her outline came into focus, moving towards me. "You look tired, Paige. Give in to it. The ether calls you." "Must have missed that call," I forced out. I wasn't prepared for what happened next. All five of her angels spooled together and flew at me. Like a black wave, they smashed through my defenses. Outside my dreamscape, my head smacked into the floorboards. Inside it, the spirits tore a path through everything, scattering red petals. Images flashed past my eyes. Every thought, every memory was broken. Blood. Fire. Blood. The moribund field. A giant hand seemed to press down on my chest, pinning me in one place. In a box. In a coffin. I couldn't move or breathe or think. The five spirits cut through me like a sword, snatching pieces of my mind, my soul. I rolled onto my side, twitching like a crushed insect. Small muscles spasmed in my arms and legs. I opened my eyes. The light burned them. All I could see was Nashira, her hand outstretched, the blade bright under the candles. Then she was gone. With an effort that forced moisture from my eyes, I raised my head from the boards. Michael had thrown himself onto her back, distracting her. There was a knife in his hand. He stabbed at her neck, missing by inches. With a flick of her arm, Nashira threw him off the stage. He landed on a Harley, sending them both crashing to the ground. She would turn back in a moment. This time she would finish me off. Her face appeared above me, and her eyes turned red. Her features softened to a haze. She was weakening me, making sure I couldn't use my spirit again. Disrupting my link to the ether. I was dead. She knelt beside me and lifted my head into the crook of her arm. "Thank you, Paige Mahoney." The tip of the knife pressed into my throat. "I will not waste this gift." That was it. I didn't even have a final thought. I managed, with my last scrap of energy, to look into her eyes. Then Warden was there. He was driving her back, using immense spools, whirling them into shields, like a fire-eater with torches. If I were sighted, I thought vaguely, it would probably look magnificent. Terabel and Al-Safi were with him, and others too. Was that Pleione? Their outlines ran together. My dreamscape sent strange mirages across my line of sight. Then someone was scooping me into their arms, taking me from the stage. The world came in flashes. There was a storm in my dreamscape, memories pouring through lightning-like cracks, flowers torn apart by a high wind. My mind had been pillaged. I was only half aware of the outside world. Warden was there. I recognized his dreamscape, a familiar presence against mine. He was carrying me up to the gallery, away from whatever had happened in the few minutes I'd been unconscious. As he lowered me to the floor, I could feel the blood drying on my face. I could barely remember where he was. "Paige, fight it. You must fight it." His hands stroked over my hair. I watched his face, trying to make the lines stop blurring. Another pair of eyes appeared. I thought it was Terrabelle again. I checked out for a while, only to wake with a hollow roaring in my ears. The noise pressed at my temples. When the pain forced me back to meet space, Warden was looking down at me. We were in the gallery, above the clamor in the hall. "Paige," he said, "can you hear me?" It sounded like a question. I nodded. "Nashira." I couldn't raise my voice above a whisper. "She lives. But so do you. Still alive." Nashira was still here. I felt the faint stirrings of panic, but my body was too weak to respond. This wasn't over yet. The sound of a gunshot rang out from below. Save his eyes, everything was dark. "There was..." Warden leaned closer to my lips to hear me. "There was a poltergeist. She has a... poltergeist." "Yes, but you came prepared." His fingers traced my neckline. "Did I not say this could save your life?" The pendant caught the light from his eyes. The sublime object, designed to repel poltergeists. The one he'd given me. The one I'd tried to refuse and might not have worn. Warden lifted me against his chest, keeping one hand at the back of my neck. "Help is coming," he said very softly. "They came for you, Paige. The seals came for you." There was another blind spot, during which the noise intensified. My dreamscape struggled to heal. The damage had been severe. It wouldn't start to repair itself for days. It might not start at all. Either way, I couldn't move, and time was running out. I had to reach the meadow, to find the exit. I was going home. I had to go home. When I opened my eyes again, a vicious light scalded them. Not candlelight. I tried to block it, my chest heaving. "Paige." Someone took my outstretched hand. Not Warden. Someone else. "Paige, sweetheart." I knew that voice. He couldn't be here. It must be an apparition, an image from my damaged dreamscape. But when he took my hand, I knew he was real. My head still lay on Warden's lap. "Nick," I managed to say. He was dressed in his black suit and red tie. "Yes, Sotnos, it's me." I looked at my fingers. They were turning grey. My nails sat in beds of dark, bluish purple. "Paige," Nick said, his voice low and urgent. "Keep your eyes open. Stay with us, sweetheart. Come on."
You have to go.
I rasped it.
"I am going. So are you. Get a move on, Vision. No time to lose."
Another voice.
"We'll treat our little lost dreamer when we reach the Citadel."
Jackson.
No, no. Why had they come? Nashira would see.
"It'll be too late by then."
The same harsh light gleamed into my eyes. No pupil response. "Cerebral hypoxia. She'll die if we don't do this." A hand moved my hair back from my clammy face. "Where the hell is Danica?" I couldn't work out why Warden wasn't speaking. He was there. I could feel it. Another blackout. When my vision returned, there was something clamped over my nose and mouth. I recognized the plastic smell of it. PVS-2, a portable cousin of Danny's life support system. There were more dreamscapes nearby, clustered around me. Nick cradled me in the crook of his arm, keeping the mask cupped over my mouth. I drank in the extra oxygen, heavy-eyed. I had never felt so completely spent in my life.
"It's not working. Her dreamscape's fractured." "That train will not wait for us, Vision."
Jackson's voice had an edge. "Carry her. We're leaving." The words crawled into my brain. For the first time in several minutes, Warden spoke. "I can help her."
"Don't come near her," Nick said. "There is no time to waste. The NVD will be on their way from the bridge. They will see your aura immediately, Dr. Nigord. Your reputation in Sion will be lost. Warden looked at them. Age will die if you do nothing. Her damaged dreamscape can be repaired, but only if we are quick. Do you want to lose your dreamwalker, Whitebinder? How do you know my name? Jackson flipped like a coin. I couldn't see him in the dark, but I sensed the sudden change in his dreamscape, the rising of defenses. We have our ways. Their words were like a sequence of patterns, impossible to unravel. I couldn't make sense of them. Nick leaned down, exhaling warm air across my cheek. Paige, he said into my ear, this man says he can heal you. Can I trust him? Trust. I recognized that word. A sun-drenched flower on the edge of perception, beckoning me into a different world, a different life, before the poppy field. Yes. As soon as I said it, Warden moved towards me. Over his shoulder I could see Pleione. Paige, I need you to drop all the mental defenses you can, he said. Can you do that? Like I had a shred of defense left. Warden took a vial from Pleione's gloved hand. A vial of amaranth, almost empty. Scarred one. They must have been stockpiling them, saving every drop they could. He put a little under my nose, and a little more onto my lips. Heat seeped under my skin. It seemed as if the ether was calling to me, asking me to open my mind. A surge of warmth came in, stitching the rips in my dreamscape. Warden stroked his thumb across my cheek. Paige? I blinked. Are you all right? Yes, I said. I think so. I sat up, then tried to stand. Nick helped me back to my feet. No pain. I rubbed my eyes and blinked, trying to adjust to the darkness. How the hell did you get here? I said, gripping his arms. I couldn't take my eyes off him. He was real. He was here. With the Sion party, I'll explain later. He wrapped his arms around me, crushing me to his chest. Come on, we're getting out of here. Jackson stood a few feet away, his cane grasped in both hands. On either side of him were Danica and Zeke. They were all dressed in Sion colors. On the other side of the gallery, Nadine was taking pot shots at the emissaries with her pistol. The two Rephaim watched me. Warden, how much? I took in a deep breath. How much time do we have? 50 minutes. You must go. Less than an hour. The faster we reached the train, the faster I could send a flare-up for the other Voyants. I trust you still know your loyalties lie, Paige, Jackson said. He looked me up and down. You almost made me doubt you, my Molisher, with that little act in London. Jackson, there are people dying, Voyants dying in this place. Can we just put that incident aside and concentrate on getting the hell out of here? He never had a chance to reply. A group of refs burst into the gallery, wielding great spools. Warden and Pleione stepped in front of us. Go, Warden said. I was torn. Jackson was already heading down the stairs, followed by the others. Paige, come on, Nick urged. Pleione blocked a spool. Warden turned to face me. Run. Get to Port Meadow, he said. I will meet you there. I had no choice. I couldn't force him to come with me. I could only do as he said, and hope I was doing the right thing. Nick grabbed my arm, and we ran down the stairs, out into the foyer of the Guildhall. There was no time left to stop. The Harleys and the refs had spilled onto the streets. Panicked emissaries and their NVD guards ran through the foyer. Nick was following them. I stopped when the ether trembled. I turned to face the hall. Something was wrong. I was sure of it. Before I knew what I was doing, I was running back to the flat stone steps. Jackson called after me. And you were going where? Just get to the train, Jackson. I didn't hear his reply. Nick came after me, reached for my arm. Where are you going? Just go with Jackson. We have to leave. If the NVD see my aura. He stopped talking when we reached the deserted hall. The darkness filled every corner of the room. Most of the candles had gone out, but three red lanterns still shone where they'd fallen. The The drapes where Liss had been performing had fallen into two folded heaps. I stepped towards them, sensing the dim flicker of a dreamscape. I ran across the marble floor and threw myself on my knees.
Liss, I grabbed her head. Liss, come on.
What had brought her back to the silks? Her hair was matted with blood.
She couldn't be dead.
Not after we'd saved her life. Not after all we'd worked for together.
She couldn't die.
Seb had died. Why did Liss need to follow?
Liss cracked her eyes open, just a little.
Still dressed as a victim of the king. Her lips formed a tiny smile when she saw me.
Hey.
Her breath rattled.
Sorry, I was late.
No, don't you dare die, Liss. Come on. I squeezed her hand.
Please. We thought we'd lost you before. Don't make us lose you again.
Glad somebody cares. There were tears in my eyes. Cold, trembling tears that didn't fall. Blood ran from her mouth. I couldn't tell where the stage blood ended and hers began.
Get out, she said, her voice faint. Do what I couldn't. I just couldn't. Just wanted to see home.
Her head rolled to the side. Her fingers loosened in mine, and her spirit slipped away into the ether. For a minute I sat there, looking at the body. Nick bowed his head and pulled a drape over her face.
Liss is gone.
I made myself think it.
Liss is gone, just like Seb.
You didn't save them.
They're gone.
You should say the Threnody, Nick murmured. I don't know her name, Sortnos. He was right. Liss wouldn't want to stay here, in her prison. Liss Rymore, I hoped it was her full name, be gone into the ether. All is settled. All debts are paid. You need not dwell among the living now. Her spirit disappeared. I couldn't look at the body. Not Liss. The body, the shell, the shadow on the world she had left behind. The flare gun lay under the cold hand. It had been her job to fire it. I gently pulled it from her grasp.
She wouldn't want you to give up.
Nick watched me check the gun for flares. She wouldn't have wanted you to die for her.
Oh, I think she would.
I knew that voice. I couldn't see Gomosus Argus, but his voice echoed all through the room.
Did you kill her, Gomesa?
I stood. Is she good enough for you, now she's dead? The silence was damning. A low voice came from behind me.
You should not hide in the shadow, Gomesa.
I looked. Warden had entered the hall. His eyes were fixed on the gallery.
Unless you fear, Paige, he continued. The city burns outside. Your facade of power is already dissolved.
Laughter. I tensed.
I do not fear, Sion. They handed their world over on a silver platter, Arcturus. Now we will dine.
Go to hell, I said.
I do not fear you either, Forty. What have we to fear from death when we are death? Besides, to be displaced from this decaying world, your little world of flower and flesh, well, that would almost be a blessing. If only there was not so much more to be done with it.
Footsteps.
You cannot kill death. What fire can scald the sun? Who can drown the ocean?
I'm sure we can work something out, I said. My voice was steady, but I was shaking. Whether it was anger or fear, I could no longer tell. Behind Warden, another male ref had appeared. At his side was Terabel.
I would like you to both picture something. Especially you, Arcturus, given what you have to lose.
Warden said nothing. I tried to pin down where the voice was coming from. Somewhere above me, the gallery.
I would like you to imagine a butterfly. Picture it. Its colored, iridescent wings.
It is beautiful, beloved.
And then look at the moth.
It takes the same shape, but look at the differences. The moth is pale and weak and ugly.
A pitiful, self-destructive thing. It cannot command itself, for when it sees fire, it desires the heat.
And as it finds the flame, it burns. His voice echoed everywhere. In my ears, in my head. This is how we see your world, Paige Mahoney. A box of moths, just waiting to be burned. His dreamscape was so close. I readied my spirit. I didn't care how much damage I did. He'd killed Liss. Now I would kill him. Warden grasped my wrist. Don't, he said. We will deal with him. I want to deal with him. You cannot avenge her, Dreamwalker. Pliny didn't take her eyes off the enemy. Go to the meadow. Time is short. Yes, go to the meadow, 40. Take our train to our citadel. Gamesa emerged from behind the pillars. His eyes were fresh with aura, the last he'd ever take from Liss Rymore. Was it so terrible here, 40? We offered you our sanctuary, our wisdom, a new home. You were not unnatural here. Lower, yes, but you had a place. To Cyan, you were a symptom of the plague, a rash upon their sallow skin. He held out his gloved hand. You have no home there, Dreamwalker. Stay with us. See what lies beneath. My muscles were stretched to breaking point. He looked straight at me, into my eyes, into my dreamscape, into the darkest parts of me. He knew his words made sense. He knew his twisted logic well. He'd relied on it for 2 centuries, using it to tempt the weak. But before I could answer him, Warden swept me back with his arm, right off my feet. A curved blade came singing over his shoulder, over my head. I hadn't seen it in the darkness. As I hit the floor, he ran towards Gomesa. Terabel and the male went after him, both gathering spools, chiming out horrific sounds. Nick pulled me back to my feet, but I couldn't feel his hands. All I could feel was the ether. The Rephaim were dancing. The air around me thinned to a silver gauze. I couldn't see the 4 refs, but I felt their movements. Each flex of muscle, each turn and step sent a shockwave through the ether. They were dancing on the edge of life. A dance of giants. The Danse Macabre. The spirits of the bone season still lingered in the hall. Terabel's spool flew through the pillars. 30 spirits, all weaving and rising together, converging on his dreamscape. No Voyant would survive being hit by so many at once. I waited for the blow to fall. Gomesa's laugh rose to the ceiling. With a wave of his hand, he shattered the spool. Like glass shards from a mirror, the spirits burst all over the hall. Terabel's limp body was thrown into the pillar. The sound of bone on marble snapped through the chilled air. When the other ref charged at him, Gomesa simply cut his hand upward. The motion flung his attacker onto the stage. The board splintered under his weight, sending him into the trap room. I pushed myself back, my boots sliding on blood. Was Gomesa some kind of poltergeist? He could use a port, move things without touching them. The realization made my heart pound thick and fast against my ribs. He could smash me into the ceiling on a whim. Only Warden was left. He turned to face his enemy, terrible in the half-light. Come then, Arcturus, Gomesa said, spreading his arms wide. Pay for your bounty. That was when the stage exploded. Chapter 29. His parting from her. The gust of heat blew me back across the room, deafening me. I landed hard on my right side, cracking my hip. I felt Nick grabbing my wrist, hauling me to my feet, pulling me out of the way into the foyer. We barely reached the door before the flames caught up. I threw myself at the ground, covering my head with my arms. Fire burst from the guild hall, shattering the windows. I kept low, moving as fast as I could. The flare gun was still in my hand. None of the Harleys had the kind of ordnance to cause such an explosion. Julian must not have told me something. Where had he found a mine, or the time to plant it? Had he taken it from no man's land? And what kind of mine sent roaring fire straight through a building? In the thick of smoke, Nick took my elbow and hauled me to my feet. Glass fell from my hair. I coughed from my chest, my eyes burning. Wait. I strained away from Nick's hand. Warden. Couldn't be dead. Nick was shouting something, but he sounded distant. I tried to use the golden cord. To see. To feel. To hear. Nothing. Outside, the sirens were howling and a rampant fire smoked in the next street. The room belched flame and black cloud. One, no, two of the residences were ablaze. One of them was Balia, the only building with electricity. The emissaries would have trouble getting word out to the Citadel now. Thank you, Julian, I thought. Wherever you are, thank you. Nick lifted me into his arms. We've got to move, he said, his voice ragged. He looked at the unfamiliar city, his face drawn with stress. Paige, I don't know this place. How do we find the train? Just keep going north. I tried to get down, but he gripped me too tightly. I can run, damn it. You just survived an explosion and a poltergeist. Nick shouted at me. His face was red with anger. I didn't come all the way here for you to go and get yourself killed, Paige. For once in your life, just let someone carry you. Sheol 1 was in a state of warfare. Now the guild hall was broken. The rebels had spread out across the streets, where they were fighting with all they had against the Rephaim. Saiyan emissaries were fleeing in every direction, trailing their bodyguards, who had opened fire on the Voyants. Julian's unit, the ones in charge of arson, had risen to their challenge with murderous enthusiasm. They'd already set fire to most of the rookery. I wanted to stay, to fight. But I had to set off the flare. I'd save more lives that way. Nick took the safest route, away from the fighting, through a narrow street. I caught sight of another skirmish. Harley's fighting alongside Amarotics and Jackets, teaming up to take out individual refs. Even Cyril had joined the struggle. A piercing scream reached my ears. I looked over Nick's shoulder. Nell. Her hands were restrained by two refs. You're not going anywhere, Nine. We need to feed. One of them pulled her head against him, holding her by the hair. No. You get your hands off me. You're not ever feeding on me again, you parasite. Her screams were cut short when her keeper clapped a hand over her mouth. Nick! I shouted. He heard the frantic edge to my voice. His arms loosened. I hit the ground running straight towards Nell. I had no weapons, but I did have my gift. No longer my curse. Tonight it would save a life, not take one. I threw my spirit at the bigger ref. I pushed against his dreamscape, forcing my way into his hadal zone, and sprang straight back to my body. I was there in time to throw my hands out, stopping my chin from smacking into the ground. With no idea what had happened, Nell pulled her hands free of the refs and knifed the one on her right, stabbing deep into his side. At the same time, she pulled the spirit from nowhere and hurled it into his face. He let out an awful snarl. His companion was still reeling from my attack. Nell grabbed her fallen supplies and sprinted for her life. The two refs were injured, but they were still threats. The one I'd attacked looked up at me, and his eyes, orange, came into focus. He took a blade from a sheath on his arm. Go back to the ether, Dreamwalker. The blade flashed towards my face. I didn't duck fast enough. It caught my arm. Nick led off around. The bullet hit the ref in the chest, to no avail. I sent my spirit at his dreamscape. The second attack weakened him. I picked up the blade he'd thrown and dove it into his throat. My mistake was forgetting about his companion. All the breath was knocked from my lungs as a second ref crashed into me, pinning me to the ground. His giant fist smashed down, half an inch from my head. Nick tossed his gun away. As the ref raised a fist for a second try, Nick snatched three nearby spirits and hurled them in quick succession. I sensed the surge in the ether as he sent a vivid snapshot into the ref's dreamscape, blinding him. In the second the ref rolled off me, fighting the spirits and the vision, I was on my feet and running back to Nick. We hadn't gone far before my sixth sense stung. My head jerked round to face the threat. Nick! He knew. In one seamless movement, he threw down his backpack and reached for another spool. The target was familiar. Aludra Carton.
Dreamer.
She didn't even glance at Nick.
I believe I still owe you for your little display in the chapel.
Stay back, Nick warned. But you look so refreshing. Her eyes changed color. Nick's face contorted. Blood swelled in his tear ducts, and the veins in his neck strained out.
Almost as refreshing as the Walker,
Aludra continued, moving towards us.
I might just keep you, Oracle.
Nick grasped his knees, trying to hold himself upright.
I killed your heir apparent, I said. Don't think I won't do the same to you. Just crawl back to the rotten hell you came from.
Kraz was an arrogant creature. I am not. I know which of my enemies are worth my precious minutes. And I am one of them.
Oh, yes.
I grew still. There was something behind her. A shadow. A massive, cumbersome shadow. She was too greedy to see it. The rotten giant. I recognized that blot in the ether.
How many minutes?
Only one.
She raised her hand. But a minute is more than enough time to die in.
Then her expression changed. Shock. She'd felt it. But she didn't turn fast enough. The thing had her in its grip before she could move. Wide eyes. Dead eyes. I could only see bits of it. The gas lamps had gone out when it appeared. But it was more than enough to scar itself onto my memory, deep into the tissue, grading the delicate fabric of my dreamscape. Aludra stood no chance. Her scream was cut off before it started.
Yes, I said. More than enough.
Nick was frozen stiff. His eyes were wide, his mouth clenched. I grabbed his arm and ran. We sprinted for our lives. The Emim were in the city. Just like Boom Season 18.
How long? I called to Nick.
Not long. He grabbed my arm, pulling me faster.
What was that thing? What sign done to this place?
A lot. We took a side street, one of several that led into the ghost town. A figure came racing down from the opposite side, panting. Nick and I both reacted at the same time. Nick tripped the boy, sending him flying into the pavement, and I pressed my hand against his Adam's apple.
Going somewhere, Carl?
Get off me!
Carl was drenched in sweat.
They're coming. They've come into the city.
Who?
The buzzers. The buzzers!
He shoved at my chest, almost in tears.
You had to ruin it, didn't you? You had to try and change everything. This place is all I've got. You are not taking it.
You have a whole world. Don't you remember it?
A whole world? I'm a freak. We're all freaks, 40. Freaks that talk to dead people. That's why we need them,
he said, stabbing a finger in the direction of the city center.
Don't you see? This is the only place that's safe for us. They'll start killing us soon, jumping us.
Who?
The Amorotics. When they realize what the Rephaim want. I'm never going out there again. You can keep your precious world. You're welcome to it.
I released his throat. He scrambled to his feet and bolted. Nick watched him go.
You've got a long story to tell when we get home.
I watched Carl disappear around the corner. It was less than a mile to the meadow, but I wasn't counting on getting there without a fight. Nashira was out there somewhere, and it was possible that not all of the bone grubbers had taken Duckett's concoction. We kept to the edge of the street, working our way through the ghost town. There was an explosion in the distance. Nick didn't stop. The windows of the buildings rattled. I couldn't think straight. Were people trying to flee across the minefield? They must be panicking, wondering where the flare was, running through the trees to get away. I had to call them to safety. We ran all the way down the blasted street, then veered off on the path towards Port Meadow. I could see the fences and the sign. A few Voyants and Amorotics had gathered outside. They must have thought they could leave the city this way. And Warden, he was there. He was filthy, covered in cinders, but alive. He caught me in his arms.
Where the hell did you go?
The words heaved out of me. Forgive me, I was sidetracked. His gaze shifted towards the city. You did not plant that incendiary device under the stage. No. I grasped my knees, trying to catch my breath. Unless... 12. The Oracle, the red jacket. He said something about an alternative plan. Let's just focus on getting out of here. Nick glanced at Warden, then looked back at me. Where's the entrance to the tunnel? It was light when we arrived. The meadow was pitch black now, too dark to navigate. Not far, Warden said. Right. Nick looked at his old Nixie watch. He wiped his upper lip with a shaking hand. Did Bind to make it? He can use his real name, Nick. I could feel sweat running down my neck. He knows. Mr. Hall and three of your companions are in the meadow, waiting for you, Warden said. His eyes stayed on the city. Paige, I recommend you use one of those flares. You still have time. Nick went to the sallyport, where Jackson seemed to be studying the ethereal fence. I went to stand beside Warden. I am sorry about Liss, he said. So am I. I will see to it that Gamesa does not forget her death. You didn't kill him. We were interrupted by the explosion. Gamesa was much stronger than us, having fed, but we did weaken him. The fire in the guild hall may have done the rest. He was still wearing gloves, even now. Something twinged inside me, hurt perhaps. Had I thought he would change so easily? Warden didn't take his eyes off mine. The golden cord shivered, just a little. I didn't know what he was trying to transmit, but I was suddenly more focused, more resolute. I grasped the handle of the flare gun. Warden took a step back. I found a point above the meadow, cocked the hammer, and turned my head away. The flare hung above the meadow, bursting out signal after signal. I watched it scorch and smoke as I stood beside Warden. Red light flickered in his eyes, and at our feet. I looked past the flare, to the stars. This might be the last time I ever saw the stars like this, in a city without light, without smog. Or perhaps one day, the whole world would look like this. The world under Nashira's hand. One great, dark, prison city. Warden placed a hand on my back. We must go. I walked with him to the sallyport. When he opened the gate, the Voyants and Amorotics, eight of them, moved through into the meadow. When we were on the other side, he pulled the gate wide open and took out another vial. He had more vials than a galley pot. The contents were pale and crystalline. Salt. He poured a thin line of it across the port. I was about to ask about the Emim when Jax grabbed me by the arms and slammed me against a post. I could feel the power of the fence. So close my hair crackled. Idiot. Jax grabbed the front of my dress. You've just shown them exactly where we are, you wretched child. I'm showing everyone where we are. I'm not leaving all these people here to die, Jackson, I said. They're Voyants. The muscles in his face twitched. His face was contorted with rage. This was the Jackson I feared. The man that owned my life. I agreed to come here to salvage my dreamwalker, he breathed. Not to save a rabble of soothsayers and augurs. Not my problem. It is very much your problem. If you do anything more to compromise this endeavor, the endeavor to rescue you, I might add, ungrateful little urchin, I will make sure you work the shallow for the rest of your days. I shall send you to Jacob's Island, and you can bask with the extispicists and the splanchomancers, and all the other sacks of scum that wash up on the edge of the world. See what they do to you. His cold hand rested on my throat. These people are expendable, we are not. You may have claimed a little independence, oh my lovely, but you will do as you are told, and we will go back to how things were before. His words stripped layers from my dreamscape. I was back to my 16-year-old self, afraid of the world, afraid of everything inside me. Then armor built around me, and I was someone else. No, I said. I quit. His expression changed. You do not quit the Seven Seals, he said. I just did. Your life is my property. We made a deal. You signed a contract. I don't give a toss about what the other mime lords say. If I'm your property, Jackson, then my employment is nothing more than slavery. I forced him away from me. I've had enough of that for a lifetime. The words came out, but they didn't seem to come from my head. I was turning numb. If I can't have you, no one does. His fingers tightened. I will not surrender a dreamwalker. He was serious. After what had happened at Trafalgar Square, I understood his bloodlust. His aura betrayed it. He would kill me if I left his service. Nick had spotted us. Jackson, what are you doing? I quit, I said. And again. I quit. I had to hear myself say it. When we get back to London, I won't be going to 1-4. His eyes moved to Jackson. We'll talk about it later, he said. There's no time now. 15 minutes. The reminder sent a cold dart through my gut. We need to get everyone on the train. Now. Nadine was back. Where's the entrance? She was sweating. We came up from a passage to this meadow. Where is it? We'll find it. I looked behind her. Only Zeke was there. Where's Danny? She's not answering on the transceiver. She could be anywhere. She does work for Cyan, Nick said. She might get away with saying she was an emissary, but it's not ideal. Did Eliza come? No, we left her at Dials. We needed one seal in the Citadel. Jackson got to his feet and brushed himself down. Let us all be friends for now. We can discuss our differences on our return. He beckoned. Diamond, Belle, cover us if you please. We have a train to catch. What about Danny? Zeke looked nervous. She'll make it, dear boy. That girl could make it through a minefield. Jackson brushed past me, lighting another cigar as he went. How could he smoke at a time like this? He was putting on a nonchalant act, I was sure. He didn't want to lose me. I wasn't sure I wanted to lose him either. Why had I said all those things? Jackson wasn't an oracle or a soothsayer, but his words had sounded prophetic. I couldn't end up busking, or worse, night-walking, in a void slum like Jacob's Island. There were far worse places to be than in Jackson's employ in the safe area of 1-4. I wanted to apologize. I had to apologize. I was a Molisher. He was my Mime Lord. But pride stopped me. I fired another flare, the last one. A last chance for the last survivors. Then I started to run, following Jackson. Warden shadowed me. The flare lit our path. A few more humans made it to the Sallyport. They followed us into the meadow. Some in pairs, others alone. Most were voyant. When Michael arrived, he caught my arm. He had a bad cut on his face, running from eyebrow to jaw, but he could walk. He hefted my backpack into my arms. Thanks, Michael. You really didn't have to. He shook his head, his narrow chest heaving. I slung a strap over my shoulder. Is anybody else coming? He made 3 quick signs. The emissaries, Warden translated. They are coming with their bodyguards. How long? He held up 2 fingers. 2 minutes. We must be well ahead of them when they arrive. This was a nightmare. I looked over my shoulder. Can't they just let us go? They will have been told to contain every last witness to this event. We may be heading for a fight. We'll give them one. A stitch pulled at my side. In our path, a wounded man was sprawled on the grass. His chest rose and fell with shallow breaths. I had 30 seconds to get this man on his feet, or we'd have to leave him here. Go ahead, I said to Warden. Let them know I'm coming. Can you open the tunnel? Not without you. He looked down at the man. I couldn't tell what he was thinking. Be quick, Paige. He walked ahead with Michael. I knelt beside the man. He was lying on his back, his eyes closed, his hands folded on his chest. He would have looked like an effigy if not for his Cyan uniform. Red tie, black suit, all soaked with blood. When I checked his pulse, he opened one eye. With sudden urgency, his ring-laden hand clasped mine. You're the girl. I kept still. Who are you? Wallet. Look. After a moment, I pulled the leather wallet from inside his jacket. Inside was an ID card. He was from the Starch. You work for Weaver, I said softly. You sick, sick bastard. You did this. All of this. Did he send you to watch me die? To keep an eye in the hell he threw us into? He was an obscure person. Someone whose name I didn't recognize. It will destroy everything. Blood glinted on his lips. Who? The creatures. He drew in a labored breath, throat rattling. Find Rackham. Find him. With those words, he died. I held his wallet in my hands, shivering in the sudden cold. Paige? Nick had come back for me. He was from Sion. I shook my head, exhausted. I don't understand anything anymore. Nor do I. We're being played, Sortnot. We just don't know what we're playing yet. He squeezed my hand. Come on. I let him pull me to my feet. As soon as I was upright, I heard the distant gunshot. My back tensed rigid. The emissaries. They must have reached the sally port. At the same time, the ether gave off an odd signal. Four yellow-eyed figures were heading towards us. Refs, I said. My feet were already moving. Run, Nick, run! He didn't argue. Our boots pounded on the cold earth, but the refs were hot on our heels, faster than us. I pulled a knife from my backpack and turned, intending to put it through an eye, but my hand was stopped by Terabel Sheridan. Terabel, I said, my chest heaving. What do you want? Terabel looked me in the eye. With her were Pleione, Al-Safi, and a younger female I didn't recognize. And behind them, her shirt torn and bloodied, was Danny. The sight of her took a weight off my shoulders. We brought your friend, Terabel said. Her eyes held little light. She will not last long here. Ignoring them all, Danny limped past me, heading for the group of stragglers. She looked like death. What do you want in return? I said, wary. You don't want to come on the train. If we did wish to come, you would not stand in our way. We have all saved human lives. We have brought your friend to you, and delayed the Night Vigilance Division. You are beholden to us. Al-Safi stared me out. Fortunately for you, Dreamwalker, we are not bound for the Citadel. We have come for Arcturus. He'll come when he's ready. I still needed Warden. Then relay him a message. He is to meet us in the clearing as soon as you are gone. We will be waiting. Just as quickly as they'd arrived, they were gone, heading for the fences. They disappeared into the darkness, like dust into shadow, fleeing the inevitable retribution of the Sargas. I turned and made my way towards a training platform, where two lanterns burned in stained glass panes. Getting here had been the easy part. Now I had to lead these people into the tunnel and onto the train. The stragglers had gathered on the edge of a concrete platform, but not the right one. This was rectangular. Nick was checking Danny's face. There was a deep gash above her eye, but she shrugged it off. At the back of the rectangle, Jackson gave the city a cold stare. No sign of Julian. Swallowed by the fire. Just like Finn. I hoped it had at least been quick. We have to leave, I said. No more waiting. There's no point. An Amarotic boy gripped his hair with white-knuckled hands. The NVD are coming. We got here first. A few sets of eyes grew brighter. I pulled a torch out of my backpack and switched it on. Follow me, I said. Move as fast as you can. Carry the injured if possible. We have to reach another marker, an oval. We don't have long. You're with the refs, said an embittered voice. I'm not going anywhere with a leech. I turned to the man that had spoken, and I pointed to the city. You want to go back there instead? He was silent. I brushed past him, ignoring the twinge in my side, and broke into another painful run. Once we were past the scrying pool, it was easy to remember the right place. Warden stood where we trained all those months ago. The entrance is here, he said when I was close, indicating the concrete oval. Nishira rather liked the idea of having the train beneath the training ground. You think she's dead? That would be too much to hope. I pushed the thought aside. I couldn't think about Nashira now. They're waiting for you, I said, in the clearing. I do not intend to go with them yet. The words were a relief. I looked down at the oval. There's no guard, I said. They didn't just leave it open. They are not that foolish. Warden pushed back a layer of moss, revealing a silver padlock. A thin bar of white light appeared down the middle, as if a bulb inside it had been activated. This padlock contains an ethereal battery. There is a poltergeist inside it. They intended to send a Rephite guard with the emissaries to unlock it before power is restored to the line. But if you can persuade it to leave, the charge will fail and the lock will spring. The marks on my hand stung. It cannot hurt you in your dream form, Paige. He knew. You are best equipped to deal with the breacher. Jackson is a binder. That will not eliminate the problem. The poltergeist must be persuaded, or compelled, to leave the object, not bound. Until it has been freed from its physical restraints, your friend cannot bind it. What do you expect me to do? You can travel through the ether. You can communicate with the poltergeist without touching the lock, unlike us. There is no us, Ref. The voice came from an augur, a little older than me. Get away from that lock. Warden stood with no argument, but he didn't take his eyes off the augur. There was a heavy pipe in his hands, an improvised weapon from the city. What are you doing? I said. There's no such thing as an ethereal battery. His teeth were gritted. I'll deal with this. I'm getting out of here. He swung the pipe. It crashed down on the padlock. A shock cut through the ether. The auger was blasted back 20 feet, screaming,
No, please don't. I don't want to die, please. I don't want to be a slave, no!
He arched his back, shuddered, and was still. I recognized those words. I've changed my mind, I said. Warden flicked his gaze back to me. I can deal with this poltergeist. Warden nodded. Perhaps he'd understood.
Here they come!
I looked up. Beneath the moonlight, the NVD charged through the meadow. They were armed with riot shields and batons, escorting a cluster of emissaries. Birgitta Jader was among them, as was Cahal Bale. Jader spotted us first, and she gave a shout of anger. Nick raised his gun, aiming for her head. No point in using spools and amniotics. I turned to face the prisoners. For the first time since they'd come here, they needed to be encouraged. They needed to hear a voice telling them that they could do this, that they were worth something. That voice would be mine. Do you see those jillies? I pointed at them, raising my voice. Those jillies are going to try and stop us getting out. They're going to kill us, because even now they don't want us in their capital. They don't want us to share what we've seen. They want us to die. Here. Now. My voice was sore, but I pressed on. I had to press on. I will open this access hatch, and we will leave this city on time. I promise you that we will be in London by dawn, and there will be no day bell to send us to our cells. There were murmurs of assent, of anger. Michael clapped. But I need you to defend the meadow. I need you to do this one last thing before we can leave this place forever. Give me 2 minutes and I will give you freedom. They didn't say anything. No war cries, no shouts. But in unison, they picked up their improvised weapons, summoned every spirit they could muster, and surged towards the NVD. Nadine and Zeke went after them, straight into the fray. The spirits of the meadow rallied to their cause, flying at the NVD with twice the strength of bullets. Jackson held still, assessing me. An excellent speech, he said. For an amateur. It was a compliment. Praise from a mime lord to his molisher. But I knew it wasn't really admiration. I had 2 minutes. That was my promise. Danny, I said, I need the mask. She reached into the pocket of her coat. Sweat coated her brow. Here. She threw it at me. It's running low in oxygen. Make it count. Positioning myself as close as possible to the padlock, I lay down in the grass. Nick looked at Warden. I don't know who you are, but I hope you know what you're doing. She's not a toy. I cannot allow you to lead these people through no man's land. Warden cast his eye towards the woods. Unless you can think of an alternative, Dr. Neatgord, this is the only way. I strapped PVS-2 over my mouth and nose. It sealed and illuminated, indicating a steady flow of oxygen. You haven't got long, Danny said. I'll give you a shake when you have to come back. I nodded. Warden, I said. What was Seb's middle name?
Albert.
I closed my eyes. Timing 2 minutes, Nick said, and that was the last thing I heard, at least in meat space. I could see the tiny receptacle in the ether. It absorbed me as any dreamscape would, like one small droplet might absorb another, and then I turned to face the lost boy. I didn't move towards him, I just stood there. But there he was, Sebastian Albert Pierce, the boy I had failed to save. He was hitting the walls, shaking the iron bars of the room. Outside the bars was the endless darkness of the ether. His face was bloody, contorted with rage, and his hair was black with ash. Last time I'd encountered a poltergeist, I'd been in a physical form, but Seb could still do some injury to my spirit. I would have to stop him. Seb, I said as softly as I could. It didn't take long for him to see the invasion. He rounded on me, ran at me. I grabbed him by the wrists. Seb, it's me. She didn't save me. He was snarling, rabid. You didn't save me and now I'm dead. I'm dead, Paige. And I can't... He hit the wall. Get out! Again. Of this room! His narrow form shook in my arms. His ribs and bones jutted, like they had before. I forced down my fear and held his filthy face between my hands. The sight of his broken neck made me flinch. I had to do this. I had to quell the wrath of the spirit he'd become, or he would live in this state forever. This wasn't Seb. This was Seb's bitterness and pain and hatred. Seb, listen to me. I'm so, so sorry. You didn't deserve this. His eyes were black. I can help you. Do you want to see your mother again? Mother hates me. No. Listen, Seb, listen. I didn't free you, and I'm sorry. My voice was about to crack. But we can free each other now. If you leave this room, I can leave the city. Nobody leaves. She said nobody leaves. He gripped my arm, and his head shook so fast it blurred. Not even you. Not even me. I can make you leave. I don't want to leave. Why should I leave? She killed me. I should have had longer. You're right. You should have had longer. But do you really want to live in this cage for the rest of forever? Seb began to tremble again. Forever. Yes, forever. You don't want that. His neck healed. Paige, he whispered, do I have to leave forever? I can't come back. I was shaking now. Why couldn't I have saved him? Why couldn't I have stopped her? For now, slowly, carefully, I placed my hands on his shoulders. I can't send you all the way to the last light. You know that white light people say they see at the end? I can't send you there. But I can send you a long way away, to the outer darkness, so nobody can ever trap you again. And then, if you really want, then you can come back. If I want. Yes. He stood there for a while, Seb in my arms. He had no pulse, but I knew he must be afraid. My silver cord trembled. Don't go after her, Seb said, grasping at my dream form. Nashira, all they want to do is suck us dry. And there's a secret. What secret? I can't say. I'm sorry. He took my hands. It's too late for me, but not for you. You can still stop this. We'll help you. We all will. Seb threaded his arms around my neck. He felt as real as the living boy. That was how I remembered him. I whispered the threnody. Sebastian Albert Pierce. be gone into the ether. All is settled. All debts are paid. You need not dwell among the living now. I closed my eyes. Goodbye. He smiled. Then he was gone. The pocket of ether inside the Newman began to collapse. The silver cord jerked, more urgently this time. I took a running jump, and my dreamscape brought me back into its hold. Paige, Paige. My eyes ached in the sudden light. She's all right, Nick said. We're out of here. Nadine, round them up.
Warden, I murmured. A gloved hand squeezed mine, and I knew he was there.
I opened my eyes. I could hear gunfire and his heartbeat. Warden lifted the access hatch, a heavy door covered by concrete, which concealed a narrow staircase. The empty padlock clattered away. Warden hitched me over his shoulder, and I wrapped my arms around his neck. The human spilled down the steps, still firing at the NVD. Jader grabbed a dead Jilly's gun. The bullet hit Cyril in the neck, killing him. I caught sight of the city. The light on the sky, the beacon in the dark, before Warden followed the survivors. His warm, solid frame was the only thing I could focus on. My perception returned in painful jolts. The tunnel was cold. I could smell it. The dry, musty odor of a room that was rarely used. The shouts from above blurred into a senseless cacophony, like the barking of dogs. I clenched my fingers, gripping Warden's shoulder. I needed adrenaline, amaranth, something. The tunnel wasn't large, barely the size of an underground tunnel, but the platform was long and wide enough to accommodate at least 100 people. Stretchers stood at the far end, piled up on top of one another. I smelled disinfectant. They must have been used to take fluxed voids from here to the detention facility, or at least to the street. But I was sure I could hear something in the darkness, the vibrant hum of electricity. Warden shone his torch towards the train. A moment later, the lights came on. I narrowed my eyes. Power. The train was a light metro, not designed to carry many passengers. The words Scion Automated Transportation System were printed across the back of the train. The carriages were white, with Scion's insignia on the doors. As I looked at them, they opened, and the lights turned on inside.
Welcome aboard, Scarlet Burnish said. This train will depart in 3 minutes. Destination? The Scion Citadel of London.
With gasps of relief, the survivors went through into the carriages, leaving their makeshift weapons on the platform. Warden stood still.
They'll realize. I sounded tired. They'll realize the wrong people are on the train. They'll be waiting for us.
And you will face them, as you face all things.
He let me down, but he didn't release me. His hands cradled my hips. I looked up at him.
Thank you, I said.
You do not need to thank me for your freedom. It is your right.
And yours.
You have given me my freedom, Paige. It has taken me 20 years to regain the strength to try and claim it back. I have you, and you alone, to thank for that.
My reply caught in my throat. A few more people boarded the train, Nell and Charles among them.
We should get on, I said.
Warden didn't answer. I wasn't sure what had happened over the last 6 months, whether any of this was real, but my heart was full and my skin was warm, and I wasn't afraid. Not now. Not of him. There was a distant sound, like thunder. Another mine. Another pointless death. Zeke, Nadine, and Jack staggered into the tunnel, supporting a semi-conscious Danny.
Paige, are you coming?
Zeke said. You get on, I'll be there. They went into a carriage near the back. Jackson looked out of the door at me.
We'll talk, my dreamer, he said. When we return, we will talk.
He hit the button inside the carriage, and the door slid shut. An Amarotic and a soothsayer stumbled into the next carriage, one with a bloody shirt.
1 minute to departure. Please make yourselves comfortable.
Warden tightened his arms around me. How strange, he said, that this should be so difficult. I studied his face. His eyes were dim. You're not coming, I said. Are you? No. The realization came slowly, like dusk encroaching on a star. I realized I'd never expected him to come, only hoped for it, in the last few hours, when it was too late. And now he was leaving, or staying. From this point on, I was alone, and in that solitude, I was free. He touched his nose to mine. A slow, sweet ache rose inside me, and I didn't know what to do. Warden didn't take his eyes off my face, but I looked down. I looked down at our hands. His larger hands on mine, shielded by gloves, hiding the rough skin beneath. And my pale hands, with rivers of blue vein. My nails, still tinged with lilac. Come with us, I said. My throat felt sore, my lips hot. Come with me, to London. He had kissed me. He had wanted me. Maybe he still did. But anything between us was impossible. And from the look in his eyes, I knew that wanting me wasn't enough. I cannot go to the Citadel. He rolled his thumb over my lips. But you can. You can go back to your life, Paige. That is all I want for you. It's not all I want. What do you want? I don't know. I just want you with me. I had never said those words aloud. Now that I could taste my freedom, I wanted him to share it with me. But he couldn't change his life for me, and I couldn't sacrifice my life to be with him. I must hunt Nashira from the shadows now. He pressed his forehead against mine. If I can draw her away from here, the rest may leave. They may give up. His eyes opened, burning his words into my mind. If I never return, if you never see me again, it will mean that everything is all right, that I have ended her. But if I return, it will mean that I have failed, that there is still danger, and then I will find you. I held his gaze. I would remember that promise. Do you trust me now? He asked. Should I? I cannot tell you that. That is trust, Paige. Not knowing whether you should trust at all. Then I trust you. As if from miles away, I heard a pounding. Fists on metal, muffled shouting. Nick came running into the tunnel, accompanied by the remaining survivors, who piled onto the train just before the doors snapped closed. Paige, get on! He shouted. The countdown was over. Out of time. Warden pulled away from me, his eyes hot with remorse. Run, he said. Run, little dreamer. The train was moving. Nick swung himself over a rail, onto the back, and held out a hand. Paige! I came back to myself. My heart leapt, and all my senses hit me like an iron wall. I turned and ran along the platform. The train picked up speed, almost too fast. I grabbed Nick's outstretched hand, vaulted over the rail, and I was on the train. I was there. I was safe. Sparks flew across the track, and the metal frame shook beneath my feet. I didn't close my eyes. Warden had vanished into the darkness, like a candle blown out by the wind. I would never see him again. But as I watched the tunnel race before my eyes, I was certain of one thing. I did trust him. Now I had only to trust in myself.
This has been an Audible Inc. production of The Bone Season, written by Samantha Shannon, narrated by Alana Kerr. Producer, Mike Charzik. Copyright 2013 by Samantha Shannon Jones. Production copyright 2013 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.